Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports of the Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I'm, of course, William M.O. What's up, Mac? What's going on?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
Not much, man. Just glad to be on the show with you.
Yeah, glad to be on as usual.
And ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you all for coming on the show. I want to wish you guys, hopefully you all have a wonderful 4th of July weekend. And, on today's show, we're going to talk about the pay-per-view events with WWE Money in the Bank that went down earlier today. We're also going to talk about last week's AEW versus New Japan Wrestling Forbidden Door event that happened last week. We'll also talk about the big Knicks trades, moves. Reported moves, Knicks reportedly trading Obi Toppin to the Pacers for a couple of second-round picks. We're also going to talk about the Knicks allegedly signing Dante Vincenzo. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about how the Mets and the Yankees are doing and anything else that's going on in the world of sports. Of course, you guys know the number is 718. Oh, what was the number? Wait, let me make sure I'm getting the right number. Or is it? Oh, rather, it's 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk about any of these topics some more. We'd love to hear from you. With that said, before we dive into the talk, there was a sad passing in wrestling recently. Draws, Attitude Era star who infamously got injured in a match, I believe against D'Lo Brown, if I'm not mistaken. And he's been paralyzed for over 20 years. He, he passed away yesterday. So, rest in peace to him.
Yeah, sad. I remember when he first came out, he was an unofficial member of the Legion of Doom when he first made his debut. And then he went on to, have a singles career. Unfortunately, that was cut short because of that career-ending injury. And then he gets confined to a wheelchair, for the past
20 years,
yeah. So my condolences go out to him and his family. Very sad.
Yeah, same here. But let's talk about Money in the Bank before getting to the Knick news and other stuff going on. What's your thoughts on the pay-per-view event?
It was a good event. It was a pretty decent. Some good matches and some surprises as well. I thought it wasn't bad. Very good event.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first event in London in over 20 years,
right?
Which is shocking.
Yeah,
I thought there was a pay per view event in London, between that time, but
supposedly
there wasn't.
Yep.
And do you remember what that last event was?
I presume it's the SummerSlam 92 with Bret and versus British Bulldog.
That is correct.
Wow, that is so shocking. Like, that was such an iconic event for them not to, be back, let alone having a WrestleMania, which we've seen
a
lot before.
That's 30 years ago, right?
Yeah, it is more than 30. It was a 92, right?
Yeah, 92.
So that had been 30 years ago.
So that, no, that can't, that, that can't be the last one. Let me see here.
Because if they say more than 20 years, if they say more than 20 years, there has to be probably something that happened.
Yeah, there has to be another pay-per-view event that happened.
Because from 92 on, that's 30 years.
Yeah, there has to be another one. Let me see.
There was an insurrection pay-per-view event, wasn't there? Wasn't there an insurrection pay-per-view event?
Oh, yeah, I think that was it. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
That was back in 2003. Yeah.
Yeah, insurrection. Like, yeah, I remember that one. Insurrection. Oh, yeah, I got to put WWE in here.
But also, I see there was a clash at the castle last year.
Yeah, that happened like last year, but I don't think that was a paper. That
oh,
was like
that was more
live,
Raw, right?
Like a live. No, it was like a. Was it like a live event that they made it into like a pseudo pay-per-view event or something like that? There were some insurrection events. There were pay-per-view events. 2000, 2001,
yeah.
2002,
yeah.
2003. So that's why they said it's the last one in
20 years.
In 20 years. That,
yeah.
That, yeah. And then they also had the in Australia, they had the global warming one. And I think they recently had an event. But, you know, I mean, I agree with John Cena. You know, they should have been a pay-per-view event, you know, because it's, you know, such a memorable, you know, place with diehard wrestling fans.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, John Cena was pandering a bit because if it was in Australia, you know, he would have been saying the same thing. You know what I'm saying? I didn't hear what you – did you say something or?
No, I'm listening to what you're saying.
Oh, no, I'm saying, do you think so? Like, you know how he was, like, hyping it up, you know, like they need to go back. And then, of course, Grayson Waller confronted him and said, you know, it'd be better in Australia. And he's front, like, oh, no, it wouldn't be, kind of, because, you know, he's trying to play to the crowd, the British crowd.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if they were doing that promo in Australia, he would have been, you know, hyping up that Australia would have been the better place.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But, I mean, yeah, I mean, it would be great. I think UK would be the perfect non-USA place, or Canada. Well, I mean, Canada has had WrestleManias before, now I think about it. I mean, that would be the first non-North American place to host it.
Right.
WrestleMania.
Yeah, no, I think that would be a great idea to bring WrestleMania to London.
They've never
had it in London before, I don't think.
You mean WrestleMania?
Yeah, I don't think so, right?
Well, no, they never time. Had. It's only been in Toronto, you know, Canada.
Right.
Other than that, it's always been in an American venue.
Yeah, that'd
if
be,
you don't
that'd
believe
be
me, Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, no, that'd be perfect. That'd be perfect
but,
to do it in outside of the U.S. for once.
Yeah. Definitely would create a buzz, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they definitely will do it now that, you know, John Cena spoke about it, you know.
Well, you know, the thing is, if they do it, you know, the time, they have to take into consideration the time difference, so
right,
they most
true.
Likely have to take place in the afternoon, like what happened today.
Oh, yeah, that is true. Good point. Let me see. All right, yeah, let's dive right into the thing. You know, we had they had the Money in the Bank men's match. You know, they had Damian Priest, Butch, LA Knight, you know, which was mine's and many people's favorite to win it. Logan Paul, another guy who was, you know, the dark horse to win it. Ricochet, Santos Escobar, and Shinsuke Nakamura, and of course we all know Damian Priest won the event by knocking off LA Knight, you know, off the ladder and climbing to the top. So what do you think about the match and, you know, Damian Priest as the winner?
I thought LA Knight was going to win it. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. Overall, the match was very good, very entertaining, but the outcome was a bit disappointing. So, but you got now you have another potential champion that's going to be in Judgment Day. So we'll see what Damian Priest does with that Money in the Bank. He cashes it on either Seth Rollins or Roman Reigns. That'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, you could see the cracks starting to form in Judgment Day.
Yeah.
With Finn Balor talking to Damian Priest after the match. But, yeah, we're going to dive into that very soon. So, yeah, Damian Priest won that. Yeah, in typical fashion, to me, this should have been like a match that should have been deeper onto the card instead of the leadoff match. But
yeah, should have been near the end. I agree.
Then they had Liv Morgan and Raquel Gonzalez defeat Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler to become the new WWE tag team champions. So congratulations to Liv Morgan and Raquel Gonzalez reclaiming the tag team titles.
Yeah, this was surprising to me. I was not expecting that Shayna Baszler was going to betray Ronda like that. I didn't see that coming.
I know. Not a lot of people did. But, yeah, I guess it was bound to happen, though.
It's going to be a good match at SummerSlam.
Yeah, for sure. Up next, we had Gunther defeat Matt Riddle. Now, this one was not predictable at all. And Gunther retains as the WWE Intercontinental Champion.
And then, yeah, Drew McIntyre come out and confront him. So it looks like it'll be Drew McIntyre Gunther, maybe at SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a nice matchup right there.
Mm-hmm.
Had a whole UK crowd pumped up for that.
Oh, yeah. They probably PO'd that it didn't happen tonight.
Yeah.
Then you had Cody Rhodes.
I wish Drew McIntyre could have had his sword and beheaded Gunther like McLeod and Highlander.
The Highlander, you know? Yeah, they could only be one Intercontinental Champion. So
yep.
I guess Drew McIntyre is willing to do whatever it takes to, get that Intercontinental title. So
yeah,
never know. But Cody Rhodes, he defeats Dominic Mysterio. I think Cody Rhodes was a former Intercontinental Champion, during his Dashing days, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least United States Champion or something like that. Probably won both.
Yeah, I think the one that he was the Intercontinental.
Oh, yeah, I remember for sure. Yeah, he brought back the Intercontinental, the original design, now that I think about it. Many years ago, before he left for, AEW. So, yeah, Cody Rhodes defeats Dominic.
That match was a bit too easy for Cody. Wanted to see more from Dominic in that match.
Yeah. I think maybe because he's a heel, they wanted to see him get his comeuppance. But, yeah, that was an easy match for him.
Yeah.
He could have probably pinned him with just a Cody Cutter.
Yeah.
Before, without even going to the Crossroads. Because, that was like a Raw match. He didn't really put up a fight, Dominic.
Yeah, that was a disappointing match.
But if that match was disappointing, the women's ladder match definitely made up for that. You had Io Sky, Bayley, Becky Lynch, Trish Stratus, Zelina Vega, and Zoe Stark. Yeah, it was a great finish. They had Zelina Vega hit the code red, off the ladder, injuring Zoe Stark. You had Io, Bayley betraying Io Sky by knocking her off the ladder. And then, but Io Sky showed that she's the true genius of the sky, as her nickname, has always claimed, her to be. When she used the handcuffs that Trish and Zoe Stark used on Becky Lynch, And you know, that part was kind of surprising to me, because you know, we all assumed she was gonna be handcuffed to the ring post, and you know, she avoided it, but you know, I assumed she was gonna somehow get handcuffed to the ring post eventually. And then Io Sky basically handcuffed Becky Lynch into Bayley. Arm, both of their arms, and basically used Bayley, you know, as a way to climb up the corporate ladder and the literal ladder to become the new number one contender. So this should be the end of Io Sky, and probably what's the name of her group again? Bayley's group again? Darn it, the name escapes my mind for the moment. What's the Bayley's group name again? I forgot it.
I'm forgetting too for some reason.
Yeah, it escapes me. Damage Control.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So yeah, that looks like that's gonna be the end of it, because I think Dakota Kai is injured. So maybe that's probably gonna be their way of ending it. Because you know, Io Sky is gonna probably be a turn baby face. But yeah, good match. Trish and Zoe Starks, you know, they were a great double team. Yeah, all in all, all the women did a great job, for sure. You had Seth freaking Rollins defeat Finn Balor to retain the World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah, that was a good match. I like that.
Yeah, it was a good match, and of course, you know, they had Damian Priest teasing that he was going to enter the match, like just like how Seth entered the match at WrestleMania many years ago. I think it was WrestleMania 30. Was it WrestleMania 30? Let me do the math in my head. When Seth Rollins entered himself into the Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar match, and it turned into a triple threat match when he finally won the title for the first time. Yeah, so, and then, of course, after the match, Finn Balor and Damian Priest were arguing with each other. So, you know, something's got to give with that. There's going to be a power struggle. Maybe Damian Priest will kick Finn Balor out of the group.
It looks like that might happen, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, I think right now the leader is Mommy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Rhea Ripley is definitely the leader of the group.
Yeah.
Hands down. And then you have, last but not least, you have the Usos defeating the Bloodline. And this marks the first time that Roman Reigns has been pinned since... Baron Corbin defeated him, I think it was December of 2019. So, you know, congrats to the Usos.
Yeah, that was a very great match.
Yeah, the Bloodline Civil War match, tag team match, lived up to the hype. It was a great match. And, the Usos, man, they were in Superman mode, man. They were kicking out of moves that normally would have got them defeated. And Roman Reigns got his butt kicked.
Yeah, and he was pinned. This is the first time in 3 years, over 3 years, that he's been pinned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens defeated him, you know, it was Solo Sikoa who took the pinfall.
Yeah.
This time it was Roman Reigns. Like, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Roman Reigns got the L. And got pinned. Excuse me. So yeah, all in all, it was a good pay-per-view event.
And yeah, I would give it a 7.5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Decent.
Yeah. Good pay-per-view event. You know, showed promise, but wouldn't say it's an all-time classic. I mean, the UK crowd elevated the event, you know, making it a big you know, pay-per-view feel. But then that the card, you know, it was okay, you know. And shifting gears to AEW, they had their pay-per-view event, the Forbidden Door, I should say. Yeah, so basically, yeah, here's what happened there. Tom Lawler, he defeats Serpentico, I should say, in the singles match. Mogul Embassy, Swerve Strickland, Toa Leona, Brian Cage, and Bishop Khan defeated Chaos and El Dorado in an 8-man tag team match. Athena, formerly known as Ember Moon, defeated Billy Starks in a woman Owen Hart tournament first round match. El Fantasmo defeated Stu Grayson in a singles match in Gomales de Japón.
Weird names.
Yes, that one has Shinjo Takagi, Bushi, and Hiromu Takahashi. They defeat the United Empire, which has Jeff Cobb, Kyle Fletcher, and TJP in the 6-man tag team match. Yeah, MJF retained the title against Hiroshi Tanahashi in a singles match for the AEW title, which MJF, no surprise there, retained. CM Punk defeated Satoshi Kojima.
Wasn't that match supposed to be his real name?
Who?
Mata Sayoshi?
Maybe. He defeats him, Kojima, not to be confused by Hideo Kojima, who made the Metal Gear Solid stuff with Konami back in the days. What's his name? CM Punk defeated Kojima in the men's Owen Hart tournament first round. Orange Cassidy defeated Zack Sabre Jr., Katsuri Shibata, and Daniel Garcia in a 4-way match for the AEW International Championship. Then you had the Elite, Hangman Adam Page, Matt and Nick Jackson, the Young Bucks, and Tomohiro Ishii defeat the Blackpool Combat Club, which has, of course, John Moxley, Wheeler Yuta, Claudio Castagnoli, of course, formerly known as Cesaro, Kensuke Takeshita, and Shota Umino in a 10-man tag team match. Then you had Toni Storm retain the title against Willow Nightingale. So Toni Storm remains the AEW Women's World Champion. Then you had Will Ospreay defeat Kenny Omega to become the new IWGP United States Heavyweight Champion. Congrats to Will Ospreay. Sting, Darby Allin, and Tetsuya Naito defeated the Suzuki Gods, which is, of course, Jericho, Sammy Guevara, and Minoru Suzuki. Suzuki, I should say, in a 6-man tag team match. And then last but not least, Bryan Danielson defeats Kazuchika Okada, basically what happened in the Forbidden Door pay-per-view event. And shifting gears, something we thought would have been the Forbidden Door for the New York Knicks would have been trading away Obi Toppin, and especially not giving up nothing for him, just getting back 2 second-round picks for him in a salary dump, which, I mean, that's, you know, kind of messed up. that Obi Toppin's career is, you know, allegedly done if these deals go through. The deal goes through, and I mean, like, Obi Toppin has so much potential, but he never had a chance to shine. You know what I mean? He's had some games if Randall was hurt, where he did come through in the starting role, but yeah, he was basically forever blocked by Julius Randle, and him having a reported argument with Tom Thibodeau after they got knocked out, you know, basically showed there was writing on the wall, and he basically, he basically is gonna get a new start with the Pacers. And
man, I hate that, man. They could have Toppin could have been something, man. He could have been something. The Knicks, you just trading for draft picks? Come on, you could have got more for him, I think.
Yeah, I think it's messed up, man. He's a fan favorite. He literally grew up in Brooklyn, grew up a Knicks fan. And to, you know, like, snuff out his dream of, you know, helping the Knicks potentially winning a championship is, like, you know, it sucks, man. Like this guy literally bled orange and blue. He gave it all he got, and he never even had a chance. And to add insult to injury, they just recently signed his younger brother, Jacob Toppin, to a deal. And you can't even have the two brothers play with each other?
Yeah, you can't even have them playing with each other, yeah. Man. But I heard that, you know, Toppin was unhappy with his role recently, and
as he should,
a lot of friction with him and the organization. So that was one of the reasons why he was traded.
Yeah, man, that's messed up, man. How his career ended like that. And
it is messed up.
And then, you know, Derrick Rose, another guy they didn't use, and that was supposed to be Thibodeau's boy. He didn't even play him in the playoffs. And then, of course, now he signs a 2-year deal with the Grizzlies. So, yeah, that's a good move for him. You know, a place where he'll have more of an opportunity to play. And, you know, best of luck to him.
Thibodeau, this year, if Thibodeau doesn't do more with his team, I think he should be let go.
Mm-hmm. Because he should develop the young guys more.
Yeah.
He's too dependent on Randall. And Randall's too, you know, erratic, you know, to be a leader. You know what I mean? Like, Randall, you know, on paper is supposed to be our best player, you know. But, you know, Brunson, man, he took the reins of the team. And to me, for the Knicks to be a championship-caliber team, they gotta get rid of Randall and replace him with somebody who's a legit superstar. You know, a two-way player, but those guys are not easy to find. And when they're there, you know, they don't want to come to the Knicks. So, but, you know, in positive news, the Knicks did sign a guy who Brunson and Hart are very familiar with. And, of course, that's Dante Vincenzo. You know, the guy, he was playing with the Warriors, and, of course, he was a former teammate on Villanova with Brunson and Hart, which, oh, yeah, by the way, Hart did sign a contract extension, and his contract, if he signs the extension, will improve the deal to it'll be a 4-year, $80 million contract. But right now it's a 1-year, $12.5 million contract, I think it was, because he opted in the player option. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's a great move. You know, they signed, you know, Vincenzo. He has success playing with Brunson and of course, Hart. Obviously, it's different playing in college. But, you know, it's good to have guys, who have that rapport with each other, who won on, you know, the highest level of college basketball. So hopefully they could parlay that into winning basketballs in New York. yeah, and a deeper run.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it's a good move for the Knicks. Gives them a guy who could provide some shooting off the bench and scoring off the bench. He had a good season with the Warriors last year, and he's familiar with Brunson and Hart, who he played with in college. So I think he'll fit right in. Add more depth to our bench now that we've lost Toppin. So I think it's a good signing.
Yeah, hands down. I definitely think it's a great signing, for sure. And, oh, yeah, and then plus there was rumors that, you know, Knicks, you know, might trade for, you know, Damian Lillard, who finally acknowledged that he wants to be traded, but he most likely wants to be traded to the Heat or the Nets. The Knicks don't even make his top four from what he was talking about. So, yeah, even though Hart was a former teammate of his and Hart has been lobbying for him to get traded to the Knicks, but, yeah, I mean, there's been rumors of Hart, I mean, of Lillard getting traded to the Knicks for many, many years, but, yeah, I mean, as much as I like Damian Lillard as a player, I mean, there's not really a fit, you know, because now we have Brunson, you know. So I don't see both of them sharing a backcourt.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
And then, of course, you know, there's always the rumor of you know, Paul George. And then the more recent rumor is James Harden, which I think they should stay away from James Harden because James Harden, you know, he's a talented player, but, you know, he doesn't seem like a winning type of player, kind of like his former teammate Westbrook. You know, those guys, you know, they love to score, but their teams don't really go nowhere.
Well, Harden likes to hold the ball. He likes to control the pace of the game,
mm-hmm.
and you know, hold the ball. So I don't think that's gonna work with him and Brunson together in that backcourt.
Yep.
So I don't think it'll be a good fit.
I agree. Yeah, so we will definitely see what happens once the moves become official. I think on Thursday is when they can officially announce the moves that happen. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. And, yeah, quickly, the Rangers made some new moves. You know, they signed Jonathan Quick, who won some Stanley Cup championships. He's going to be the backup for sure. They drafted Gabriel Perreault. I don't know how you pronounce his name. You know, this guy scored like crazily, insanely in the USNTPDP. And, he had 79 assists in a single season. And, he should be a great addition to the Blue Shirts this coming season. And then, of course, you know, they signed Peter Laviolette, you know, the former Stanley Cup head coach, former coach of the Islanders. But, yeah, they made some, veteran moves with some guys who have championship pedigree with Quick. And then they also signed Nick Bonino also. They also signed Blake Wheeler. So, yeah, they're definitely retooling this upcoming year and having a guy, you know, Jonathan Quick, you know, a guy who they, you know, has some history with the Rangers facing off against them. You know, I think it's a great signing to have a guy like that, you know, as a backup goalie. But yeah, let's shift gears to baseball. Congratulations to Yankees, Domingo Germán threw a perfect game a few days ago. The Yankees have more perfect games than any team in history.
Yes, sir.
And yeah, man. So congrats to him and the Yankees. Yankees didn't play well, today or lately, but at least they threw a perfect game, to cement their place in history. So congrats to him.
Yeah, no, it was great. I mean, coming into that game, Germán had allowed 15 earned runs, so 15 hits in 5 1/3 innings over his previous two starts. So in the game that he pitched a perfect game, I mean, he looked like he looked like Cy Young, Guy threw 72 of 90 pitches, 99 pitches for strikes, mixed in 51 curveballs, 30 fastballs. He averaged 92.5 miles per hour, 17 changes, one sinker. I mean, he was almost unhittable in that game.
Well, he was. He was perfect.
Yeah, he was perfect. And the Yankee offense, which has been inconsistent all year, they helped them a bit too, scoring, 11 runs, I think, in that game. It was a great night, great win. But, props to Germán, getting that a perfect game. It was the first no-hitter that we had since Kluber had a no-hitter back in 2021, I believe, 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But fourth perfect game in the organization's history. So, yeah, congrats to him again.
Yeah, and, shifting gears to the Mets.
Happy Bobby Bonilla Day.
Yep. Yes, the Mets celebrated in style with the power.
Man, they have to kick themselves over that deal because the dude is making more money than he would have if you had just paid him the full contract back then.
I know. Thanks, Steve Phillips, for that one. That seemed like a boneheaded move. I don't see the point of paying a guy like that. I mean, if it was Piazza or somebody who actually really did something in a Met uniform, I mean, it would have made sense. I mean, he had a lot of great moments with the Pirates before he signed with the Mets. That would have made sense if the Pirates did that with him. But, yeah.
12 more years of Bobby Bonilla days.
Sound like three presidential elections. Well, I guess he's gonna be elected to get all this paycheck,
man,
whether we vote for it or not. So yeah. It is what it is. Hopefully, by the time the contract ends, the Mets will win at least some championship, or at least at the very minimum one, mercifully. Yeah. But I guess time will tell, and what was I going to say? Steve Cohen, he did a press conference earlier this week to basically, talk about the state of the team. And, he said he's not going to fire anybody. He's not going to fire Epler, the GM, who, I think out of everybody who needs to be fired should be him, more than Buck Showalter.
Yep.
And he also said he's still looking for a president of baseball operations. So most likely that's going to be David Stearns. He was the GM of the Brewers. The guy grew up a Met fan, and he was a Met intern before he ended up working with the Brewers for several years. And then, of course, you got Theo Epstein, the architect of the curse-breaking Boston Red Sox team of 04, a team you're very familiar with.
No, and I don't know them.
And, of course, the 2016, Chicago Cub team, the year after you know, they were supposed to win the World Series, you know, according to the Back to the Future movie. But, of course, on the day that they were supposed to win the World Series, they got swept by the Mets in 2015, you know, when the Mets went to the World Series in a losing effort. But, you know, we digress. But, yeah, so basically the Mets, you know, they're almost 10 games under, they're probably, what, 10 games under 500. They did have a great win today. They, you know, Verlander went 7 innings. Probably struck out 8, maybe. We had a home run barrage, I think, in the 3rd or 4th inning. I think it was the 3rd inning. Nimmo, Lindor, and Francisco Alvarez, they all homered in the 3rd inning, in the same inning. Pham finished 1-for-3, knocking Alonzo Wynn for the 4th run. And, you know, the Mets was able to hold on. Ottavino got the save. And it was a much-needed win. And Andrew Smith, he pitched a scoreless inning of relief. Because every time Drew Smith comes into the game, with the exception of, you know, the Yankee game where he got suspended without even throwing a pitch, every game he comes into the game lately this year, he gives up a home run. I mean, he's this year's Hanzo Robles, you know. But good thing the Mets was able to get the victory. The Mets only have 4 hits of the day, but they sure made sure all of them counted, you know, when they basically drove in each run with a hit, capped off by the 3 home runs in the 3rd. So props to the Mets, but they have a long way to
go. Well, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, you cut out a bit.
Yeah, I was coughing a bit, so I kind of muted. But, yeah, all in all, you know, go win by the Mets. But they have a long way to go. They have to try to reach 500 and potentially try to get a playoff spot. But to be honest with you, the fat lady has sang, you know, in the opera house. The Mets ain't going nowhere. If the Mets don't get the act right, they're gonna be in last place. So there's nothing I can say about that.
Yeah, I mean, they got to get their stuff together, man. Because the Braves have won 60. As we were watching baseball in the bar last night, and we were talking, Braves have won 16 in the last 20, and 21-4 in the month of June. Right now, they're running away with this division, and Mets right now they might just hope, they have to hope just to make the playoffs. If they can make the playoffs. Talking about playoffs?
Yeah.
I mean, they gotta play good. For the rest of the way, they have to play above 500 ball to even think about making a play-in. Or not play-in, but wild-card, you know? Mix it a wild-card round. Because I don't know if they can catch the Braves or not to even win the division, to be honest with you.
They're not. Spoiler, they're not doing it. The Braves are like, I don't know, like 16, at least 16 games up on them. Like,
yeah.
And not to mention the Mets are under 500, like 10 games under 500. Like, that's just
not good.
I mean, I know this is the Mets. I know the Mets, you know, they make the miraculous possible. You know, you got to believe. I mean, the Mets have had crazy comebacks, you know, unbelievable comebacks. But, yeah, this team, man, they need a lot of work. I wouldn't say destroy the team. I wouldn't say sell Ottavino or trade, you know, the aces Verlander and Scherzer, but yeah, man, this team ain't going nowhere fast. Wish I could be a bearer of good news. I mean, but yeah, man, unfortunately it is what it is. But, on that note, is there anything you'd like to say?
Just so everyone out there have a safe and happy July 4th. And yeah, everyone just enjoy the rest of the week and stay safe out there.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said, and I hope everybody have a wonderful and blessed 4th of July weekend. I hope you enjoy the 4th of July coming up in a few days, and hope to see you guys next time. Hopefully, they'll be, you know, you'll enjoy the fireworks, just like Brandon Nimmo's, you know, been enjoying this recent home run surge he's been on. So, you know, we shall see. You know, we shall see how all the teams are doing, you know, as the season come along. So, again, Mac, I want to thank you for coming on the show as always. Really appreciate that.
Yeah, anytime.
And ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Sports on the Legend. He's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramo, and I'll see you guys next time. Peace.